Is the president criminally liable? That question hanging over the January 6th investigation was also being whispered in the White House while the Capitol insurrection was underway, according to Cassidy Hutchinson, top aide to former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who told the House committee yesterday that after the insurrection began, the president was stewing because the Secret Service wouldn't let him go to the Capitol. Then she said White House counsel Pat Cipollone told her if he went, they'd face every criminal charge possible. Here's Hutchinson yesterday with committee chair Liz Cheney.
Mr. Cipollone said something to the effect of, please make sure we don't go up to the Capitol, Cassidy. Keep in touch with me. We're going to get charged with every crime imaginable if we make that movement happen.
And do you remember which crimes Mr. Cipollone was concerned with?
In the days leading up to the 6th, we had conversations about potentially obstructing justice or defrauding the electoral count.
Hutchinson also said that President Trump knew some of his followers were armed but wanted them to go to the Capitol anyway, and that many in his inner circle seemed to know before January 6th that, as Mark Meadows said, things might get bad. So what are the legal implications of yesterday's testimony? Jill Wine Banks is one of the prosecutors during the Watergate scandal. She wrote the book, The Watergate Girl, My Fight for Truth and Justice Against a Criminal President, and joins us now. Jill, first, your general thoughts watching yesterday.
I thought it was very powerful. I thought that Cassidy Hutchinson was a very good witness, good memory, good calm demeanor, clearly a Republican who supported the president, but was outraged by what she had seen and was willing to share the facts. Mm-hmm. And she shared facts and details in a way that seemed very true and compelling, very believable.
Yeah, what does it all mean, though? She mentioned obstruction of justice, as we just heard, and what she called defrauding the electoral count. Now, there's a timeline forming here through the committee's work. On January 2nd, the president called Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger and asked him to find votes. On January 3rd, the president met with Jeffrey Clark, the low-level Justice Department lawyer, and considered making him a stop-the-steal sympathizer, attorney general. That would have captured the DOJ. On January 4th, Hutchinson said the deputy chief of staff told his boss, Mark Meadows, about warnings that there could be violence. Now, people are using the phrase seditious conspiracy. First of all, what does that mean?
Okay, so first let me say, before I answer about seditious conspiracy, that I think what Cassidy Hutchinson was referring to was obstruction of Congress, not of justice, and conspiracy to defraud the U.S., which are both felonies. 2384 of Title 18 is seditious conspiracy. And the interesting thing about that is it would bar anybody convicted of that from ever holding office again. So it becomes even more than just a felony. And it basically says if two or more people anywhere conspire to overthrow, put down, or destroy by force the government of the United States, that is a crime. And so that makes the intent about violence important. And so when you say that there was evidence, which there was, that they were told that there was violence, that even on the day of, they got reports about AK-47s and Glock pistols and brass knuckles. That means violence. And if you then say, go to Congress and fight like hell, that makes you guilty of Title 18, Section 2384. And so I think that that's why that became very important.
Well, Saul Weisenberg, who was a former deputy to Watergate prosecutor Ken Starr, I'm sure you know, told the New York Times that yesterday's hearing was this smoking gun pointing at seditious conspiracy. And earlier this month, prosecutors added charges of seditious conspiracy to their case against members of the Proud Boys who were at the Capitol on January 6th. So if that was conspiracy for them and Trump wanted to join them, is that part of what makes him liable?
It is, but I think we probably will have evidence that shows that he encouraged them to do that, that he was the leader of them, that it wasn't that he was joining them, that they were joining him, which makes him the ringleader. But even if he just was joining them by his intent of, I'm going there, I will march with you, and his insistence in the vehicle that he be taken to the Capitol, that means that he wanted to be part of the violence, that he wanted to interfere with Congress. Any one of these crimes is a terrible thing to think that the President of the United States was guilty of. In addition to, you mentioned Georgia, where there the phone call to Brad Raffensperger, which is a violation of state law. So he's got crimes coming at the federal level and at the state level.
Yeah. We should say that the Secret Service is reportedly saying that they've notified the committee that they'll make those agents involved in what happened in the car when the president allegedly lunged and said he wanted to go to the Capitol. They're going to testify, you know, whether or not he lunged. And so we'll be hearing about that. But meantime, we know that, as you said, the president knew the mob was armed. He knew it before the insurrection. Is that also perhaps inciting a riot?
Well, the inciting the riot is his words. And that's not just his words on January 6th. We can go back to before the election. The only way I can lose this election, he said, is if it's rigged. So he started that fake narrative of fraud in the election long before there was anybody voting. And it continues to this day. He is still claiming the election was stolen despite the absence of a single shred of evidence, despite 60 courts throwing it out, despite the Arizona ninjas finding more votes for President Biden than they had before they did the audit. So there's no evidence to support that, and continuing to repeat that is part of inciting the crowd to riot, and telling them you need to protect me and democracy.
And Jill Winebanks, we're going to have you back because we just love your expertise. We only have a few seconds here. Do you think that there, from what you heard yesterday, there will be other people who will be open to charges?
Oh, absolutely. I think we heard enough about Mark Meadows, and we have to look at all the people who requested pardons. You don't ask for pardon unless you've done something that is a crime. And there were many people asking for pardons. And so we have to look at all of those people, as well as Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan, Brooks, Biggs, Gates, all of them.
Jill Winebanks, who helped prosecute Watergate, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.